Hey guys, welcome to another podcast at Third Wheelers. We've got the usual crowd back here. Jesse.
Hey.
Khaled.
Hello.
Today we're discussing about the beautiful month of Ramadan. Everyone in Kuwait and around Kuwait celebrating Ramadan. A lot of us have different experiences coming from different parts of the world. The way we observe the month of Ramadan, the traditions that are followed. We just want to get a sense of what's happening in Kuwait. How do you guys celebrate it? Early off in the podcast, if you have any comments, what you do, what is your experience of Ramadan, please share with us on our website, on our Instagram. The first question, if you were to explain what is the significance of the month of Ramadan or the holy month of Ramadan to an expat who's just coming into this culture for the first time, how would you guys put it off? I'll start with Khaled.
For me, the whole experience behind Ramadan is best to be followed in the Middle East region, just because you are an Islamic country, everything revolves around the month. So like, for example, our work timings change, you have evening prayers for which there's sufficient enough time to get the rest that you might be needing. Because I have lived in Kuwait, I've done my fast over here, I've even stayed in the UK and I've done my fast there, but it was a bit more difficult in terms of finding time for prayers and all, just because your fast over there would open at like 9:30 p.m. and then to get to the mosque would be like 10:30, and then by the time you would be done it'd be like 12, and the mosque would be like a 30 minute walk or something, and there's no bus which goes there, so you have to take a taxi every day, and it just gets a bit more difficult. But you're like, you have the freedom of having a mosque near you, you have the freedom of having your work timings change, as I told. And it just feels right, kind of a thing. It's an overall experience that whether you follow the religion or not, I think it's good. Because for me, I like to follow it like as a self-reflective month. Just seeing what you've done over the year and just kind of assessing yourself. I like to have it simplified in the sense that I use social media less. I use like any kind of entertainment less. So like I listen to less of music or don't follow TV shows as much. And it does help pick on things that you wouldn't pick on otherwise.
Jesse?
I mean, definitely agree with what Khaled said. I mean, in terms of different cultures, the Middle East is absolutely perfect. Because here, I mean, working, I mean, most generally 5 to 6 hours to accommodate people fasting, whether or not you're fasting. I mean, even if you're non-Muslim, fasting in general is really good for your body. Like a lot of people who are into health, do intermittent fasting, like our lovely Valley here, he does that. And I mean, just in a general sense, it's really a meditative and reflective month, like Khaled said, because I mean, firstly, it's reflective because of all the things that you're doing. I mean, of course, you're always supposed to be a good person throughout the year or throughout your life, but it really makes you more in touch with your beliefs. And I mean, just in terms of like being more patient, being more sympathetic, empathetic with everyone, it really does help. And then in terms of meditative, I mean, in terms of, let's say, the praying, in terms of really feeling with the poor, feeling with those less fortunate than you are, it's a really good feeling to really make you humble. And I think that's what the most important part is, whether you're a Muslim or you aren't. It really is a good part just to reflect on.
I think you guys touched upon it, but I just want to get a little more details. Maybe for people who are not coming from this background or our listeners who are outside the Middle East, what is Ramadan actually? And in a quick, I know that there would be a lot more detail to it, but just like a quick snippet of what is the meaning of Ramadan, how did it come about, and what are the things that are observed generally?
Firstly, I mean, from one sense, it's being thankful for what you have. And in another sense is feeling, being more in tune with those less fortunate, people who don't have access to clean water or food or as much food as, I mean, the more fortunate does or do. And I mean, it's very similar to that of Lent, where people just fast. I mean, when it comes to Muslim culture or belief, you don't eat or drink at all. It is like an additional step, but it is very similar to that. But rather than, I think, 40 or 50 days for Lent, Ramadan is usually around 28 to 30 days, depending on the moon sightings. It's, it usually goes from dawn till dusk. And then once dusk hits and the prayer goes, you can start eating and drinking until dawn. So yeah, I would say that's my summary of that.
Carl, you want to add anything?
Yeah, so like Joseph pretty much covered it. So it's basically a month where you can write yourself, as I said, and bring yourself closer to God. So in this month, pretty much everything you do kind of gets doubled in terms of benefits in your afterlife. So that's what the religion follows. And whatever you do, like in terms of a religious point of view, is you're doing currently for the afterlife. So it helps you in your judgment day. And so in the month of Ramadan, you try to do as much good deeds. So like the characteristics that Joseph was mentioning earlier, you try to do as much as you can so you can put yourself in a good position. And then I think it's also a mental challenge because you have to do it over a certain period of certain number of days and for a period of time, which gets difficult. For the first week, it's adjusting to the time of waking up and sleeping. The second week, it's adjusting to your body strength because you start becoming weaker. The third week is basically fighting that and just making sure you don't get sick, you don't feel weaker, because a lot of people tend to face that. And then the last week is basically just giving it your all because you have late night prayers. So you have night prayers which go on, which are called Tarawih. Yeah. And then you have the late night prayers which happen at like 12 a.m. to 2 a.m., which is called the Qiyam.
Yeah.
The Qiyam prayers. So yeah, it's pretty much like, it's to some extent a dedication. And think of it like this way, it's a marathon and you're trying to finish the marathon.
And how do you guys, I mean, again, you spoke about it. It's very challenging. And I'm talking from a non-Muslim point of view when I see you guys fasting, not even taking a sip of water, but still doing the same amount of work as others. In fact, getting up early in the morning to pray, praying late at night. The rest period that you spoke about is less. So when you see others, I mean, yes, in Quetta, we are a little more fortunate that, you know, there's no restaurants open, you know, nobody can eat and drink in public. But you know that people are doing it. You can see people are doing it, you know. How do you cover these temptations, if I have to put it that way, or that urges of the human body that, yeah, you know, you're thirsty?
Mm-hmm. Well, the good thing is you get to do it from a young age. Like, mm-hmm, you do a one fast, and then the next year you do like 2-3 1 week.
Mm.
Then you do a month. So the thing that the Quran says again is, if you're sick, if you're traveling, you don't have to fast. So that's one thing. But then I honestly, like, I see water, I see food, I don't really, it doesn't matter. Like, my mom has to make iftar, so she has to cook. Mm. So she doesn't feel tempted. So that temptation is not there as you grow older. Like, it's the maturity that kicks in. But I think it's the, as I said, the mental strength. Like, because, for example, if you're tired on one day, you feel very tired. But then you know that it's just around the corner kind of a thing. Yeah. And then you just fight through it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely a mental challenge. I mean, I think Khalid is much stronger in that sense. But for me, food is fine. I can go without food. But for me, just water. Just, mm-hmm, you know, like a cool glass of water would be like the biggest temptation.
Yeah.
But I think you get used to it, especially if you start at a young age. It's like mentally you're prepared for it. Once you're over those first like 4 or 5 days, first week, then it becomes much easier. But I mean, in terms of work, since, I mean, work is now like 5-6 hours, it becomes much better for us. But at the same time, once you finish work and you just go back home, it really taxes on your body. People usually just take like a little nap before Fatur or something like that. And then they would be able to get that strength to continue.
Yeah, I just like to add in, like, so like I said earlier, I have fasted here and outside. Over here, the experience is different because you see it around, like, even the people who do not fast, like, they pay respect to that. But like when I was in the UK, for example, the days felt quicker because it felt more normal. But then when you were alone, let's say, like, when you had that downtime, you could say, on your day, that's when you start feeling it a bit more because you exert more energy. Yeah, in that sense, like, it's kind of how you preserve your energy, but then it's also how you plan out your day. So, like, those naps do help.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And this is the thing I want to mention. Like, I've been in Kuwait now for quite some time, and I've been in India. So I've had the experience of seeing Ramadan in these two countries and how it is observed so differently. Where here, as I said, being an Islamic country, the experience is more enriching, while in other countries it's not as fortunate. Probably similar to in the UK when you were there, Khalid, where I have had Muslim colleagues of mine sitting with us, you know, while we are eating our meal and still patiently observing their fast.
Mm-hmm.
We do see, even in Kuwait, workers, government workers, construction workers, nursing homes, where they are working and fasting at the same time in difficult jobs, you know, sweeping the road at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, while you're fasting the entire day. I mean, it's commendable. And I do hope and pray that, you know, what they're observing for, what their intentions are always fulfilled. Moving a little bit away from, we got a good sense of what Ramadan is. How do you and your family observe it, and probably the after the evenings when you'll break your fast, what do you all do? What's the tradition in, around your family? Jesse, you want to go?
I don't know, like usually more family oriented. I feel Ramadan in general really brings people together. I think it's like the vibe or the environment, like even with friends or family, like let's say I don't see like cousins or uncles and aunts that much, but in Ramadan you really get together, so that's really nice. When it comes to Futur onwards, it's really nice because the thing is everything opens much later and people usually tend to stay out and hang out much later to like 12, 1 a.m. or so on. So it really is a like warming environment. Of course, all of it is about like food, Vimto, desserts. Most people just gain like a butt ton of weight. But it's awesome. That's what I do.
What about you, Carl?
As Jesse said, it's a lot more family time, more time with your close ones, I would say. You even end up meeting a lot of family friends you haven't seen since last Ramadan because you only meet in Ramadan. It's interesting because somehow it brings you closer to people you might not be closer to. And after the month is over, you don't really stay in touch. But then every Ramadan, they keep coming back to you. So it's a weird way. But with the family, it's just as much time as possible.
Is there any special tradition in your families or you guys, your friends, that you'll do like every Ramadan, we either go to this restaurant or we eat this food or something? It's like you don't do it to the rest of the year. But maybe that's something that you do during Ramadan. Is there something like this or no?
So we basket, okay. So like it's chopped up and all. We only have that during Ramadan. Like after Ramadan, like we have fruits individually, but we don't do that. Like I still don't understand. Earlier, like we used to have orange juice, fresh orange juice during Ramadan, just to drink. But we never used to make it throughout the year. So no. It's such an odd tradition that.
Okay.
It's something that we follow for some reason.
That's really strange. But the similar things now with juices and fruits, but desserts are a huge thing, especially. I'm not sure. Gaymat, have you guys?
Yeah.
Heard?
Oh my goodness.
It's like
these.
Dough balls in some way, and they like have honey or syrup on them. They're really, really good, extremely, extremely sweet, you know, like typical Arab sweets where they're incredibly sugary, but it's so good, you can't resist them at all. So I think desserts, like my family, especially me, we're not really big into like, you know, we're not sugar people and like desserts, but Ramadan just kicks that tradition away, man.
Okay, I'm gonna put you guys in a little bit of a spot. This is not something that we discussed. But are you guys aware, or have you done, or you heard within your friends, family, or community of people doing extraordinary things during Ramadan, like giving alms to the poor or helping others, or like, you know, any instances or stories like these? Because I do see a lot of people more open towards others, the less fortunate people, you know. Some people, like I know my friends, they go and distribute food to the less fortunate. Mm-hmm. Or some would even take them to work and bring them back. Like small activities. Is this something that you guys do, your families do, or something that you've heard about?
The food giving thing, I know quite a few people who have done that. And it's an initiative they took. Mm-hmm. And some of them are non-Muslims also. Mm-hmm. They do follow that respect that there are people who are maybe working in hospitals, maybe working as cleaners and stuff. And they make these small like takeaway boxes where they give them like a meal pretty much.
Yeah.
So that does help them. Then I've even seen a few people donate water. We do that from time to time. So basically, you can take a carton of water to the mosque or something. And then because during prayers, people do get thirsty. So after the last prayer for the day, that's around an hour and a half or so.
Mm.
So you do get thirsty in between. So it's just for that. So I mean, that's something you don't do on a normal basis. But then since it's a month, as a general, we give out like a part of our savings to charity. So you can give it to different people you might know, or you can give it to different charitable organizations. So that's something unique that usually happens in the month more than anything. But then on a normal basis also, they kind of encourage you to.
Yeah, I mean, definitely family and friends. I mean, this month I've already seen, it's just been a few days since Ramadan started and everyone has already donated food. I mean, also personally donated some clothes as well, actually a lot of clothes. And just all these things, exactly just the month of Ramadan, you would see it more than any other month throughout the year. I mean, you'd probably hear like once in a while, like some friend donating or something like, oh, I have extra clothes, donating, or just canned food to the poor. In the month of Ramadan, you really see that accelerate like by like 500%. But there was one time I saw, you know, these ice cream guys who like go on like the bicycle with those little carts.
Yeah.
So this I found really nice. I mean, obviously those guys don't make much money, but there was one who, this was last year, I think. And last year was really, really, it was a hot summer. So this guy literally had ice cold water and was just giving it out to every person in the car. So every person, this was on a roundabout, everyone who just came, he would give them like just water. And this was like right before Fatur. So if anyone's like late, they can at least break their fast once the Adhan came on. So I thought that was amazing for somebody who's like in that position and to be that generous.
I think that's the spirit of, you know, any of these observances that are there in any religion, is that how people who we presume cannot really contribute to, like, you know, what would a guy selling ice cream and sell water contribute to my life? And, you know, then he comes out and gives free water from his own earnings, whatever big or little that he makes. And it really makes the whole spirit of community grow. I think this is a message that we as the Third Wheel Podcast or anyone around, is it's about peace, it's about giving, it's about sharing and making this place a little more better. And like what you said, Khalid, I think that's a beautiful point, is that, you know, let's look inwardly, you know, at things that we do, how we can change, how we can be better towards people and continue it, not just in Ramadan, but after that. I mean, we have been blessed in Kuwait that, you know, we are much more protected, safety, security. And, you know, I do hope it continues throughout the Ramadan spirit. Now, just for people who are in Kuwait, you know, What do people do in Kuwait during the month of Ramadan? I know they go for restaurants, but are there any activities, any special restaurants? Are there iftar parties? What's the vibe in Kuwait?
So generally in the Indian culture, it's an iftar and the male members go for the prayers after the iftar. So it's a light kind of iftar.
Okay.
You come back to the house and then it's just full on food.
Okay.
So like you can't have a suhoor. Like you literally eat as much as you can. And then, you know, generally you wake up at night for the meal before before you start your
fast.
What's
that called?
Suhoor.
Suhoor, okay.
Yeah, so you can't, you don't have enough space, so you just drink water. That's it, pretty much. It's literally like that. They'll make like the heaviest, not the heaviest dishes, but then it's like you have so many options to choose from. And then you just end up eating so much. And by the time you know, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm fine for the day.
It actually sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It does, yeah. I think with Arab cultures, or at least like what I've noticed with like Middle East in general, is more about gatherings. So whether you're with friends or families or all of that, it's right after you all eat together and so on, like after Fatur, usually people just like gather in like a seating area or if they're in a restaurant or whatever, and they would just have like tea or coffee and a bunch of sweets. And the whole thing is just like the gathering itself, where everyone was like, if they haven't seen each other like since last Ramadan, like we were saying, they would all catch up or just talk, you know, laugh, just enjoy each other's company until like very late at night, and then they would all just go home and prepare for Suhoor, which, I mean, that's really nice to see.
Cool. We'll be back with the second half. It's just the Ramadan quiz. I'm going to test Jesse and Khalid's knowledge. Short break and we'll be back. All right, guys, we're back with the second half or the second part of this podcast. As I said, it's going to be a quick quiz just to test your guys' knowledge. Those listening in can reply back with your answers and comments on the quiz. But I'm going to go quickly. Anyone wants to answer? There's no winner or loser for this. There's no prize. There's no Marvel ticket for this. Nothing. It's just to increase everyone's knowledge.
We don't have to buy anyone for food.
All right. Here we go. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Which month of the Islamic calendar is Ramadan?
Oh, damn it. I just had it in my mind.
Six or eight.
The options
what did you
are
say?
Sixth.
Just give us multiple choice.
The options are 1st, 10th, 12th, 9th.
Wait, 12th. Can you repeat the question? I think I misunderstood.
Which month of the Islamic calendar is Ramadan?
Oh, first, I thought you actually wanted the name.
No. 1st, 10th, 12th, 9th.
10th?
So Jesse says 10th, Khalid says 9th, the answer is 9th.
Ah. Yeah.
The Quran was first revealed in the month of Ramadan, which surah in the Holy Quran affirms this? Surah Al-Kahf?
Al-Kahf.
Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Imran? Surah An-Nisa? Surah
Al-Baqarah.
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 Yeah.
Al-Baqarah?
Surah Al-Baqarah.
All right, that's correct.
Yeah.
The purpose of Ramadan, as mentioned in the Quran, is to 1. Lose weight and become healthy. 2. Yeah, no. Read the entire Quran. 3. Achieve good consciousness, taqwa. To experience what the poor feel.
Yeah, the last one.
I would say C.
But the thing is, it's also kind of a little bit of everything that was said.
C and D.
1. It is healthy. 2. It is also to experience what the poor feel. And there's also like a bit of most. But yeah, I would say to experience of the poor feel.
I'll say C just because Joss is saying D.
You can go with, I can change my answer if you
want. No, but then
alright, the actual answer is achieve good conscience, that's taqwa.
Oh,
C.
The Battle of Badr took place in Ramadan. True or false?
True. Oh,
I gave you guys the answer.
It was true, right?
Yeah,
I think it was true.
It is true.
Even though, I mean, people be kind and patient. And
it took place on the 17th of Ramadan.
Okay. I thought he was going to ask the day.
On the day of resurrection, those who fast will be called to enter paradise, Jannat, through which gate?
What are the options?
The options are Al-Islam, Al-Sawm, Al-Rayyan, Al-Kawthar.
I do not know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really common knowledge.
All right, the correct answer is Al-Rayyan.
Al-Rayyan, huh?
Alright, this is what the internet says, please.
Guys, there's no judgment on Bali. He's doing the best he can.
It's not his judgment.
Yeah. It's not his judgment, yeah.
Eating forgetfully breaks the fast. True or false?
This was true. Even though... This was true.
This is false. No, eating forgetfully breaks the fast.
No, I'm saying this question.
This question and the quiz
and the quiz
true.
Is true, but
then it's false. That's what we think.
So I'm going for false.
Because if it's forgetfully, I mean.
And the correct answer is it's false.
So we are right.
You lied to.
If somebody eats or drinks forgetfully, he should complete his fast because Allah has made him eat and drink.
Yeah, God is the merciful.
All right, moving on to the next question, Jasser, if you could read this for me.
Laylatul Qadr is better than... Laylatul Qadr is basically that, like, one night where, like...
It's like 1,000 nights.
Yeah.
The prayers for that night.
Okay.
It's one of the most...
So is it equal to 1,000 months, 1,000 weeks, 1,000 years, or 1,000 days?
1,000 days. Oh, wait. 1,000...
1,000...
Months, weeks, years, or days? No, I don't think it would be years. That's...
I think months or days.
Let's go with days.
Days.
Yeah, let's go with days. I was about to say days.
It's months. Thousand months.
It was months.
I mean, he said months. I said.
I can give you the chapter it is.
No, but
if you want to refer to it,
I was just confused.
No, so basically the prayers that happen, it's the same prayers that happen on any other Ramadan night.
Yeah.
But then it just
this
has
is three the or 4 days before
10 days, last 10 days.
No, so it's one of the odd nights. So 24th, 23rd, 25th, 27th. So these 4 nights become like very prestigious for us. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like
this is a typical expat question. Okay, probably you guys already know the answer. This is more for the audience, and they can respond back to us. Which festival occurs at the end of Ramadan?
Oh, I wonder what it is.
Is it Christmas?
Eid al-Adha, Hajj, Days of Tashriq.
What?
Eid al-Fitr.
Days of Tashriq? Hajj. I mean, you can do that any time.
All right. And with that, we've come to the end of our quiz. Yeah. Short and sweet. Thank you guys for being on the podcast. I know it's not the easiest of times for you because we are recording this podcast if you guys are listening during the fasting period. So hats off to these two gentlemen here sitting with me. I wish everyone who's listening onto the Third Wheel podcast Ramadan Kareem, if that's the right way of saying it, in the for a peaceful and happy Eid once it's here. And if you have any stories, if you have, maybe you guys know about charitable institutions or people who are in need, you can share the details. Our listeners, our viewers, whoever would like to contribute directly, maybe they can get some information on this. I'm sure there are a lot of initiatives happening around Kuwait in helping the unfortunate, in helping our environment. We would be having some guests on our show who are doing something for the environment, for the country specifically. Shout out to Trash Tag Kuwait. They should be on a podcast soon. With that, Ramadan Kareem to everyone. Thank you guys. And till our next podcast, it's bye.
Goodbye.
Ramadan Kareem.